Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
And good morning. This is the second hour of Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and we do appreciate you guys joining us, if you would. 860-522-9842 is the number. I didn't really give that last story enough detail, so we're going to see if Ziggy can help out with that detail. Hey, Ziggy, are you familiar with the CISA report on the most exploitive vulnerabilities that should have been eradicated?
I'm aware of the CISA vulnerability review for fiscal years 2024 to 25, which highlights that long-standing weaknesses such as injection flaws, OS command injection, SQL injection, and improper input validation remain the most frequently exploited vulnerabilities.
Any more information on that, Ziggy, that you could share?
CISA added 238 high-risk CVEs to the known exploited vulnerabilities catalog in FI 2025, triaged more than 30,000 incidents, and blocked 2.62 billion malicious connections in federal networks.
So basically, some of these things go back a long way. Seven of the 10 most frequent CVEs are still out there, compromising 41.5% of all the bugs on that list. So when we tell you need this technology, you need proper technology in your systems, you need to apply your patches, you need EDR, MDR technologies, you need them, because I can just ask AI now as a script kiddie to go ahead and create me a tool to attack the vulnerabilities that are known. That's why Microsoft and these companies have such big problems, because they have taken forever to apply secure by design approaches. Three of today's top 10 CVEs would have been considered unforgivable, unforgivable nearly two decades ago. So if you're wondering what we're dealing with as IT geeks, and you're wondering why my point of view of Microsoft has been so contemptible, it's that.
Right.
Three of the top 10 would be considered unforgivable. Where is the warranty on this software?
There isn't one.
And again, there's nobody writing laws to say you have to.
Microsoft doesn't warrant their software.
I got a recall on my Honda, a 2018 minivan, for a camera that might not turn on when I go into reverse.
Whoa.
That's the thing, though, right? They're worried about me not being able to see behind me when I turn my camera on when I go in reverse. Yet, there is no law that says Microsoft cannot have unforgivable flaws that are two decades old still. Why do we allow this to continue? Because companies like us we're constantly battling that crap, right? We're not. Why does my printer no longer work? Well, because it's some silly update just broke it because they decided they're going to deprecate the actual tool using a .NET framework that no longer exists. That's what we spend our lives in the help desk dealing with, right, Dennis? I mean, you do more than I do these days. And we have unforgivable flaws still. So, I mean, Ziggy kind of laid it out there for you. We have the report pointed out there for you. So what we're trying to explain to you is you need to keep patching. You need to keep protecting. You need to understand that the tools that are out there to have the bad guys go at your systems are now more easily found. And they're actually, it's basically bad guys as a service. They actually allow you to subscribe to their tools, and you can go ahead and start your own evil empire attacking these crappy operating systems because they've been allowed to operate this way for decades with unforgivable openings sitting there waiting for you to exploit. That shouldn't be a thing. If my backup camera is a big deal to the auto industry and there's laws about that, right? I don't know, Dennis. Burns my britches. Let's go to Janet in Farmington. What's going on, Janet?
Oh, good morning. So I have a Lenovo Yoga that I have gotten word that they're no longer going to support this in the fall.
Who's they? Lenovo?
Well, yeah, but I don't know where that message was when I saw it, It's in some kind of thing that was happening automatically and that came across the screen.
Oh, a pop-up? I would ignore that. Don't worry about whether or not they're going to support. How old is it?
It's 9 years old.
Okay, so they probably aren't going to support it because it's 9 years old, but that doesn't mean you can't keep using it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't really have a whole lot on it.
Yeah.
A lot of it's in my Gmail, so I can always get to that. But all right, so I'll just keep plugging along with it.
You can keep plugging along. Is it running Windows 10?
How do I answer that question? I must be able to find it here. I don't really have Microsoft Windows. I have just have different apps that run my
Is it a Chromebook? No, it's a computer, right?
It's a laptop. It's a little notebook, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It could take pictures. It turns inside out. It's
a convertible laptop.
It says Core 15 7th Gen. Whatever.
Yeah. You have a Windows laptop, so you are running a Windows operating system. I mean, you can type in WinVer right in the little search bar and see if it gives you a response, WINVER. I'm guessing it's Windows 10 or it could even be Windows 7, being a 9-year-old system. Only issue there is that you're not getting patches and updates. So what I just talked about as far as the unforgivable vulnerabilities, not only do you have those, but Microsoft's not even going to bother patching them because of the age of the system. So as long as you're not doing anything important on that system, like it sounded like you weren't doing any banking or anything important on it, then you can keep using it.
Well, I do use it for banking.
Oh.
It's a WinBer. It comes up WinBerry. WinBer, seeing more results.
I want to give her a hand there, Dennis, as far as where she should be going.
Well, yeah, you just type, you press Windows R, and then type the word WinBer, WIN as in Nancy, V as in Victor,
type
ER.
Windows R?
The Windows key in the R.
Yep.
You see the little Windows key on your keyboard? It would have like four squares. Ooh.
Yeah, it says type here to search.
Right. And in there, you're going to type WinVer, all one word, and then hit enter.
WINVER. What do you got?
It should come up with window.
It says WinBerry.
WinBerry.
No, there's no WinBerry.
No.
Okay, so browse right away, launch Edge. I don't use Microsoft Edge.
It's okay. I would bet you have an older operating system. So you're using it for banking. then I would be a little nervous because again, you don't want any vulnerabilities to creep in there when you're surfing the internet and then end up going back to your banking site. So there is a little risk in using that old machine if you are using it for things as important as banking or financial planning or whatever you're logging into.
So would a hotspot be solve that problem?
No. It's the software is old and needs to be patched and updated, and it's 9 years old. I would tell you there's a risk there.
Oh, wait, it says Lenovo Vantage. New updates are ready to install. Please leave your device on and plugged in. BIOS update 10.
Yeah, it's a BIOS update. That's a physical update.
Well, that's not a Windows update. That's a Lenovo driver update, or in this case, BIOS.
Mm-hmm.
You probably should install those.
Yeah.
When you have a chance, but I wouldn't rush to do it.
We could have you go through the control panel to find the version of your operating system on there for you, Janet, if you want to go.
Yeah, you can open up the Windows settings.
Okay. Oh, boy.
If it's Windows 10 or older, Windows 7, I would tell you you definitely want to consider maybe replacing it. The problem is it's a really bad time to buy a computer, too. Laptops now are twice as expensive as they should be, and you can thank all the quote-unquote build-out of data centers, although that seems to be oddly stopping all over the country as far as people blocking data centers. So I'm hoping it's going to change the math when it comes to RAM and hard drive prices, because they've been all allocated for data centers. But right now, if you wanted to buy a new computer, a laptop, it costs twice as much as it really should, as it would have cost last year. So that's another problem. But we want
just
you to
a little go ahead. Notebook.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. This is a little notebook. Okay. What you've got there is a pretty cool little device. That's no little notebook. I mean, it's a yoga. That thing is like flips back and forth, touchscreen. Mm-hmm. For its time, 9 years ago, that was cutting edge, Janet. You paid a pretty penny back then for it.
I did. But I love it. It's hard to find things on it, though. Sometimes I have.
We agree with you.
Oh, you agree?
Yes, right.
Well, yeah.
Based on the Winver thing we're trying to have you do, we agree.
Well, yeah, but even when I typed it in the Windows box with the four squares, if I type Winver, it doesn't work. Comes up with that Winberry thing.
Yeah, I don't understand why you're having this problem. I mean, If you go to control panel and settings, you should be able to see the version of your software. But I'm guessing it's Windows 10 because of its age. And again, that's not being updated. It's Windows 10 is a dead operating system. So there is some risk by running older operating systems these days. Again, they're not being patched or updated. Your computer, though, is being supported because of what you just told us. Lenovo is still keeping update the BIOS, and that's great. That's a good positive thing. So at least they're trying to keep the hardware viable. But 9 years old, it definitely lived its life.
In that Windows box to search, when I get to WIND, I get a bunch of other stuff. Windows PowerShell system, Winberry, Windows Defender Firewall, Winbox 3.4. I don't know if that's anything. No,
we can post an article that Mike G found about how to get this information,
and you can just follow it. But if you're running Windows 10 and older, or Windows 7, it's definitely time to replace that Janet. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You got it.
Alrighty.
We'll put the link up there for Janet so she can find it. I was going to step out for a quick break. Zig, hang on. He's in Wilmington, North Carolina. So hang on, Zig. We'll talk with you next after we take a quick break here and get back to your calls. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Bellassai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Bellassai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Bellassai wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back, and we don't know what Janet's issue there was trying to get to that little...
It shouldn't be as hard as no. It was.
But she did say she had trouble getting things to work on her computer, but I don't know. We're going to go to Zig in North Carolina. Hey, Zig, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, thank you.
And just so you know, we didn't name Ziggy because of you, Zig. That's the only other weird name that Amazon Alexa gives us so that it doesn't auto-alert on the wrong. Because being a computer show, if I named a computer, we would have it alerting all day long.
Oh, okay. Well, every time I hear that, I jump up, but it's not for me. So,
what can we do and for you, Zig?
And they got another problem here in the kitchen. They've got some kind of a song app in there, and that app is called Ziggy, and so I think the kitchen people are talking to me, but they're really calling in for a song.
That's funny.
No, I got a about I'm calling with regard to a nonprofit organization, and so a year ago they had us download Microsoft Office.
Yep.
And as part of that, it was an Outlook account associated, and it's got the nonprofit name associated with that Outlook account.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted us to use that and so forth. And now, as an officer, a year later, people send notices to, and I'm just filling in with some blank names here, but mm-hmm. as treasurer.
Yep.
They're sending notes to the treasurer as a position in there, and other people say, yep, you should have gotten that treasurer note. And when we log into that Outlook account, it doesn't show us treasurer. So I'm thinking that maybe somebody else with higher administrative credentials needs to connect my account with Outlook at this organization with the treasurer position. Do you have any idea what you would?
Yeah.
And this is all part of Teams, so something called Teams.
Yep, yep.
I think.
Yeah,
are you familiar with those things?
Oh, yes, we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we use it every day.
Yep.
So this sounds to me like the alias treasurer needs to be attached to your Outlook, your actual mailbox. And it's not formally attached like you're saying. And so you're exactly right. And whoever's managing your, and most likely this is a Microsoft 365 instance, a nonprofit instance of 365, where whoever the global admin is of Microsoft 365 needs to attach to Zig's, you know, your account, that treasurer alias. Right now it's probably assigned to somebody else, or because you said you're filling in, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that,
well, I'm not filling in. I've got this was I got elected. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, you need to, whoever's the global admin of through the 365 account does need to attach the treasurer to your Outlook account under the under the organization.
The other way that this might be set up, and I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah.
Somebody may have created a mailbox called treasurer at.
That is true.
And in that case, you don't want that alias assigned to your account.
Right.
What you want is to have the treasurer account or mailbox delegated to you. But either way, an administrator of that email service is going to know what needs to be done in order to get you to see the treasurer emails.
And
they can do it in 30 seconds. It's not hard.
Now, the delegation, when they delegate it, Dennis, so like he's logging in as Zig at
right
in his main box, but when he logs in as treasurer at, it could be a different credential.
Well, no.
You can match this. You can actually match the delegation?
Well, yeah. He would continue logging in as Zig at.
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen is he would have the mailbox delegated to him, but then when he opens Outlook on his computer,
yep,
below the Zig at mailbox, there's going to be another mailbox listed.
Gotcha.
And that's treasurer at.
And the credentials will match under Zig. So
well,
you won't
there
have to
won't
have a separate
be any credentials
right,
because they're
delegated.
Not being read.
There you go.
He's reading the treasurer mailbox under his own authority as Zig at.
As you can see, I get confused about this stuff.
Okay. I didn't follow that at 100%.
Well,
the administrator did say, look under your name and you'll see treasurer.
Ah,
oh,
there it is.
It sounds like they already delegated it to you and that you should already be able to see the mailbox.
Right. So go look through your Outlook. You're going to see your folders.
Yeah, scroll down on the left side of Outlook, what they call the navigation pane, and scroll all the way down. Now, if it doesn't appear there still, which occasionally happens,
right?
There is a way to go into your Outlook profile and then force it to display the mailbox. And what you do is you open up your mailbox profile. You could do that in File. We'll get an article that'll tell
show
you how
that,
to do
yeah.
it. Because I can go through the steps very quickly on my own, but I'm thinking he's going to want to see pictures.
It is unusual, right? So you're going to have that secondary inbox that is delegated and attached to your primary Zig at inbox.
Okay, and is there at any stage, from what I was reading, is there at any point where I would ever want to sign in with the position name, let's say treasurer?
It doesn't sound that way.
It doesn't sound like that. That's what I was doing. That's where I was going, but
that
I don't think so.
They would have an administrator for that system would have to tell you whether or not you would need to do that way.
And since they didn't tell you that,
then I would think that this is a delegation arrangement that doesn't require a second set of credentials.
We'll put a link up there for you, Zig.
Yeah.
Okay. And if it doesn't show up on my computer, is that the link that I want to go through, or is that something that the administrator could?
The administrator might have to be helped, but you might find if you go through what we're going to describe for you, you might find that it is there. You just weren't looking where you thought you were supposed to look.
Right.
Hey, super. Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Zig. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. Four lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. We are back on this lovely Saturday morning, and we appreciate all your calls so far. I do have a quick question for Ziggy. Hey, Ziggy, are you familiar with the AI-generated bills that are reportedly causing problems at the Capitol?
Yes. AI-generated bills are overwhelming the House Office of Legislative Counsel. Requests jumped 72% in 2025. With about 30,494 drafts prepared versus 10,564 introduced. Lawyers say the drafts contain frequent errors, wrong tax classifications, inaccurate statutory citations, and definitions that omit DC or tribal nations, so reviewing them takes longer than writing them from scratch. The office is testing a specialized tool, Comparative Print Suite, to catch such mistakes before they enter drafts.
So here we go. Right, here's AI being used to draft legislation.
I was
going to
say, yes, number one, AI is used to draft legislation. Mm-hmm. Number two, AI is being used to filter through that AI-generated legislation and either fix it or just flag it as, you know, flawed.
Garbage.
Yeah.
So you got the irony of it is the Washington and work slop. I mean, come on. I mean, work slop should have started with Washington, right? But now you actually have AI work slop causing these folks to be working much harder to fix these bills that are created by these dinglings using the AI, who won't even be able to figure out how to put the loopholes in that they wanted to put in for their buddies. Right, Dennis?
Right.
You know, you and I don't get any loopholes, but no. Their buddies do. So if we're hearing all this replacement of people for their jobs being replaced with AI, and then you hear this story.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
How many replacements are we really going to have?
And you're causing more work for the actual humans because you're using AI, right? So the lawyers actually have to read this garbage and then use another tool to figure out what garbage is in there. I don't know. It just reminds me of C-3PO and machines making machines.
That's right.
So we'll put the link up here. It's a Politico story. And our government hard at work for us. They're from the government, Dennis, and they're here to help. Mm-hmm. AI writing our bills. We're all in trouble. Let's go to Dan in East Windsor. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, okay, how are you?
Not bad. Got a question for Dennis or you. Dennis already knows the issue, but I posted on your Facebook about an issue I was having with my computer coming up, missing DLL file. And So I ran system file checker, and it said it found some corrupted files to fix them, but then when it restarted, I was still having the same problem. I decided to try to boot from the Windows USB installer and repair my computer thing. So what happened was when I booted from the Windows installer and went through the options so I could repair my computer, all it did was just boot me back into Windows normally. It didn't do anything. So that's what I was wondering why that happened. But so finally, I ended up having to just go with a nuclear option and do a full wipe and reload, just kind of like cut a fly with a bazooka. But that's what I had to do.
Yeah. Oh, we do it all the time.
Yeah, we do we do end up having to go that route sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think I had suggested using auto runs to figure out what's running at startup that might be triggering that, and then see if you could repair that program. Did you try that or not?
No, I don't know if I even ever saw that. But I did the full wipe and reload. I mean, so I'm not having.
Well, that's going to resolve it. So and ultimately, it may have been an efficient way to fix it.
Yeah.
It might have been.
Yeah.
So.
But my question more like, but why would when I select boot from the USB installer and select repair my computer, why would it just boot me right back into Windows without doing anything?
Because when the computer started up, it didn't recognize the USB stick as a bootable drive.
Right.
And it went to the bootable drive that it already knew. That is kind of an issue.
You may have to force the boot order sometimes in BIOS.
You might have to go into BIOS and change the boot order.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I booted from the USB to begin with, and like as if I was going to install Windows.
But instead of
installing it, I decided to repair my computer.
Well, what happens is you can when the computer boots, you can force it to go to the boot menu,
right?
And then you can select a bootable drive. But here's the big but.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, when an automated process triggers a reboot and it just reboots on you because that's part of the repair process, it will go to whatever is the saved boot device
in the BIOS.
In the BIOS, what you needed to do when you were originally in BIOS is, number one, to set the boot order to make the USB stick first. And honestly, I would leave it that way. And then,
Wouldn't it then just go to the exact same thing that it did when I booted from it?
No, because
as if I wanted to install Windows.
Nope.
If you set the BIOS so that the USB stick is the preferred boot device over the local drive, then whenever it senses a bootable USB, it'll go with that whenever it starts up. Yeah.
This is why we get the big bucks, Dan, right? Because the logic of this is ridiculous, right?
It is.
So you've told it to do something, and it went ahead and did it, but it already was booted to do it. And so that's why you have to go to the low-level area of the BIOS to say, I'm going to go to the hard drive.
I did a little search on it, and it said the likely cause of that was a corrupted restore partition, WinRe partition. Look at that.
I don't know about that.
I think boot order.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Ask the AI if boot order could have played a role, and it would be like, oh, yes, of course it could.
I didn't ask AI. I just did a Google search. Google probably used AI anyway.
It might have. It probably did, yeah. But if you ask it with ask it with the boot order as far as a question, it'd be like, sure, yeah, that could have been the issue too.
Yeah, so. It's a Dell, so I to begin with, I just kept tapping F12 to get to a one-time boot
menu.
It's like the boot from the USB, and then to repair my computer.
You short-circuited it right there.
You short-circuited the preference of boot device
right
when you hit F12,
which is correct.
Right. You did the right thing, but it just wasn't right enough, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep all that in mind for future reference. Like I said, I went ahead and used the nuclear option, so I killed the fly with a bazooka.
You did.
Well, in a lot of cases, that is the most efficient solution, mm-hmm. and if it worked for you, then go ahead.
Yeah, we actually encourage our techs not to spend too much time trying to granularly troubleshoot the issue if you can solve it more quickly with that solution. We're always focused on time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I was worried about, which, of course, I had to worry about, was having to try to reactivate software that needs to be activated over the internet. Because I forgot to deactivate one piece of software, and I'm like, oh, no. But then I remembered I had it on my laptop as well, so I went ahead and opened up my laptop and deactivated it there so I could activate it on my desktop. That worked.
Okay.
But I got lucky there. Otherwise, I would have had to buy it again. I'm like, oh, no.
No, I know. I hate that. Mm. So it's all boot order, Dan.
The other one. What's that?
I was going to say, it's all boot order. It's something so simple, right? You just never know. What else can we do for you? Do you have another issue you're going to say?
No, I was just, for some reason this time, when I added my printer and scanner and all that stuff, it's doing something it didn't do before. It's saying that two of my devices are okay for Windows protected print mode or something like that, which is where I never saw that before. But
that's a new thing.
It is new.
Coming in December, Windows protected print is going to be a problem for a lot of devices if they're not compatible and you want to do any kind of scan to email function.
Yeah, well, the feature is turned off, thankfully, right. But it's just it said those devices are eligible for it. So,
that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, because you did the wipe and reload, it probably put the most recent version of Windows on there, and that had the protected print mode in it.
Right.
I created a bootable. Supposedly bootable USB stick using Rufus, but for some reason the computer just would not recognize that. It wouldn't boot from it, so I went ahead and just used the media creation tool and downloaded a nice little fresh version, and it was able to boot from that.
That's always going to have the latest Windows image. So
yeah, I might have to look into why the one I made with Rufus didn't boot.
Well, if you got nothing better to do on a beautiful day like today, I guess you can do that.
I'm kind of semi-retired now. I have nothing better to do most days.
Ah, all right. Lucky you.
All right.
We're jealous.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate
thank you,
it.
Dan. Yep. Bye-bye.
And for the listeners out there, what Dan had as an error was a missing DOL file. After he booted up the computer, it would throw an error about that.
Yeah.
What I want to tell everybody right now is if you get an error like that telling you that a system file is missing, like a file that ends in DLL or a file that ends in SYS.
Dynamic link library.
Do not, under any circumstances, search the internet for a place to download that file. Just do not ever, ever, ever do that.
Right. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, there are malicious sites out there that literally feed... they listen for searches like that, and they will literally feed back an ad for their site, and it'll be the first thing in the returned listings.
Yeah.
And it's just way too easy to get bagged with malware doing that. So never, ever do that.
And the Windows protected print here is a big deal.
It definitely will be a big deal.
Remember the whole issue with upgrading from Windows 10, or was it 7 to 10, where you couldn't find printers that were compatible with 10? Right? People got pretty upset about that.
Well, the Vista breakpoint was a big one,
That's
too.
That's another one, yeah.
There was a lot of people with Windows XP printers that couldn't print with Vista.
Deja vu all over again. Thanks, Microsoft. So basically, now they want a better secure printing because relays are being used for sending print jobs. You really shouldn't be using relay anymore. And they want to secure the SSL certificates in a better way. And so you need to have printers that are compatible with Windows protected print mode, which means they have to have a certain firmware on their printer itself that will allow for that security implementation.
Right. And they need to handle TLS.
Right.
Which
the current TLS.
Right. TLS 1.2 or better.
So you're going to be minding your own business, doing your scan to email, and it's no longer going to work. And it could be a $10,000 copier you have, or it could be a $4,000 laser printer that's been working for a decade, a multifunction device that will no longer work, and you're going to get mad. So just a heads up, you definitely want to find out if your printer is using Windows protected print or is compatible with that, the way Dan just found out his were. If you're in a business, most likely, because for home use, it's probably not that big a deal. But in business use, we're anticipating in December getting deluged with issues and our clients with this type of problem because they've got a lot of people want to keep running their printers, right? Why buy a new one if it works? It's a feature. So did you want to say something there?
Yeah, we complain a lot about Microsoft, but we should give them kudos and thank you for steady employment.
Yes.
As long as Windows is the number one operating system, steady employment as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, that's the thing, that Joey. You're right, but we didn't get in this business for that. We didn't get in this business to keep fixing Microsoft problems. We got in this business to improve companies' processes, procedures, outcomes.
Yeah, but Microsoft is doing that for you, in a bad way.
I guess. That's not what we envisioned when we got into IT. But yes, you're right, Joey. It's a sad truth. So we'll put some information about Windows Protected Print if we can find something out there.
Yeah, we'll find something. And we'll post a link to a site that will let you find out if your printer is compatible.
Oh, I didn't even know that existed. It's a generic site for all printers?
Yeah, it's a site. It's called Mopria. That is the consortium of print manufacturers.
Really?
That is working with Microsoft on this feature.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And they have a website, and one of the tools that's on it is a compatibility tool.
I wonder if they're selling the licensing to have this happen, so that's why they're anxious to tell you your printer isn't going to work.
the manufacturers that are part of their consortium, you know, can use the name freely.
Yeah, yeah.
Other manufacturers do have to pay the consortium a little bit of money for that little Mopria label.
We need a consortium, Dennis.
Yes, we do. We can make a little money on
the
royalties.
The Joey Dennis
that
era
way.
Consortium. But at any rate, we'll
post that too. So you can check out your model and see.
For home use, you're probably not going to be impacted.
Probably not, no. When protected print mode is initially going to be imposed only on Windows domain networks, at least at first.
Right.
So home users, it's not going
to
happen.
And the question is, they could also maybe even decide it's a big mistake, too, depending on how many printers are out there that are not compatible and how many they're going to impact.
There may actually be kind of a rollback of sending out this feature.
Yeah.
You're missing the big point here.
Uh-oh.
Cloud printing. So now all the printers are going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to pay a subscription for your stuff to go to the cloud and then to your local printer, which we're going to alleviate all the firmware and security updates come through our network.
Mm.
So that's going to be our consortium.
There you go.
It even fits. So it's EDJ, Edge.
Edge. I like it.
Yep.
Joey's always thinking, we got our consortium.
The printing consortium.
If you want to print, you got to go through our consortium.
Exactly.
And half a penny, a hay penny.
That's all
we want.
It's pennies on the dollar. You're not going to notice it.
No. It's just like Office Space.
Yeah, Brewster's Millions. Come on.
We'll step out for a quick break, get to your calls. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. And we're here till 11 o'clock. We want to thank all you guys for joining us on the show today. We really appreciate it. And I also want to bring up a story that just came across. This is not good news. One in six, this is according to Proton, 1 in 6 VPNs are tracking your location.
What?
64 VPN apps on Apple's App Store and Google Play contain trackers that collect your sensitive data, the exact opposite of what a VPN is supposed to do. So this is another reason we're so paranoid about software and having certain apps on your device that you can trust. But basically, it's a new report here talking about the fact that a lot of these apps are actually tracking your location and going back to China.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of these, not only China, but Israel, Russia, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, there's a lot of tracking going on in the VPN tools that you're downloading. Most likely, I bet you're downloading them for free.
Of course.
So narrowing down the numbers, Proton found that 31 of the apps were Chinese-owned VPN. They use shell companies registered in jurisdictions such as Singapore, Hong Kong, and the UK to further hide their identities. So when you're downloading apps or buying apps from, quote-unquote, the App Store, just because they're on the Google Play or Apple Store doesn't mean they're, quote-unquote, safe.
Right.
Your VPN shouldn't be tracking your location, Dennis.
No.
Period. So not that you're doing anything wrong. this is a scary thing. I joke, I would rather, it's sad here, but basically 25% of them are actually tracking your actual location. Why would that have to be the case? We'll put the link here for you guys to read, but you need to understand what this software is doing, and you need to be sure you're working with companies you trust. And the problem is you can only trust them as long as you can trust them.
Right.
Right? We don't know who to trust every day. We hope we pick the right apps. We hope we pick the right companies, but we'll put the link to that story out there. That was a shocker. Let's go to Greg, and it's a brand new story. Greg and Nagaduck, what's happening, Greg? We got a few minutes with you.
Okay, guys, quickly. I have on my laptop, I have AdBlock Plus that I pay for. It works fine. Not a lot of ads. On my cell phone, Android, I could be on Facebook or Amazon, and constantly I'm getting pop-ups for ads and selling things and whatever, and sometimes you can X them off.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't. Is there something I can buy for a damn smartphone to cut these out, or am I just, you know, I can X them off sometimes, but usually it's on Facebook or Amazon or something.
Yeah, that they just pop up on your phone.
They just pop up all over the place.
Yeah, I know. That's how they make their money. That's how they make their darn money.
I hear you. You know, I don't know. Is that just life and just deal with it, or?
I don't know of a way to block it, but Dennis might, because he's talked about other tools that he's talked about before
well,
on this show.
The tool that I'm going to suggest on a smartphone would be to use a different driver than is normally installed. Now, if this is Android, you said?
It is an Android, yeah.
All right. Then you're probably set up to use Chrome. I would
different browser, okay.
Right.
It might be Chrome, yeah.
What I'm going to suggest is that you install the Brave browser.
Yep.
Make that the default web browser on your phone, and Brave should do a pretty good job of filtering ads.
So
just by
Brave
itself, without having to play with any settings.
Okay.
Yep, check it out.
Good idea. I'll do that. And listen, just a quick one. I was having trouble with Facebook being very, very slow. 2 weeks ago, I called you guys. You told me to shut off my I think it was ad blocker or something.
Yep.
And it worked. It worked fine.
All right,
so I just wanted to thank you for that one because that really helped.
You're welcome, sir.
Keep it up, guys. Thank you.
We will. We try.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I want to thank all you guys for joining us. I want to thank Joey for producing and Mike G for posting everything live over at our Tab Computer Sys X feed and our Facebook.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
Enjoy the weekend. See you next Saturday.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.